Just real quick, is just to be able to share with you a little bit of my heart for the continent of Africa. I don't want to take too much time at all. The video will basically explain most of it. But my burden for the people of Africa changed from just the small little town that I was in to the region I was in to working different with multiple tribes in the northern part of Kenya, then working with them in the northern part of Tanzania, and then helping other missionaries getting on the field. Establishing relationships with other national pastors. And all of a sudden, it seemed like my heart was growing and my burden was growing until, at this point, it's all over the continent. 54 nations in Africa, and I've been in 41 of those 54, trying to do all that we can to be able to help not only our missionaries there, but our national missionaries, our national pastors, national evangelists, trying to reach the continent for Christ. And what I'd like for you to do is, at some point, we'd like you to go to our table back there. For those of you who are prayer warriors, you know who you are. I have a brochure on Africa, and you open it up, and it shows all the different demographics of Africa, has some information there. Please use that as a prayer reminder to pray for the continent of Africa during your prayer times each week. I hope you'll set aside some time specifically to be able to do that. I hope the video is informative. Thank you.
From sun-drenched savannas to dark and foreboding jungles, from snow-peaked mountains to the lonely, wind-swept deserts, Africa is a continent of rare and exotic beauty. It is a land of considerable natural resources, a place teeming with unharnessed potential. However, the true wealth of Africa lies in the hearts of its people. It is these people, with their numerous tribes, diverse languages, and unique culture, which capture the attention of the missionary. For these are souls for whom Christ died, souls who will not hear a clear presentation of the gospel unless someone goes to tell them. Centuries ago, great men such as Robert Moffat, David Livingston, and C.T. Studd sacrificed much as they opened up the interior of the African continent for missions. Their zeal and determination for the Lord captured the hearts of many. Since then, hundreds of missionaries have continued in this pioneering spirit to carry the light of the gospel to these people who sit in spiritual darkness. However, Africa is a region of harsh realities. General instability, disease, and war have all taken their effect. Yet, in spite of this, God is calling and raising up a new generation of missionaries who will carry His gospel no matter what the obstacles. This is truly a new era for an old field. For over 60 years, a resurgence of missionaries through Baptist International Missions has eagerly followed in the footsteps of those missionaries of the past to pioneer new fields, to boldly minister in foreign cultures, and to equip and partner with national leadership. With hundreds of churches planted and thousands turning to the light of the gospel, the Dark Continent is not as dark as it used to be.
After mission work in Africa for nearly 30 years, there are two thoughts that immediately come to mind with regard to the African continent. One is incredible opportunity right now. And the second is vast potential for the future. Africa's full of possibilities. And those two thoughts come from one thing: growth. Africa's growing at an incredible rate. Statistics tell us, in just a few years, the 10 fastest growing countries in the world will all be in Africa. And all that adds up to people. People with their eternal souls. That's what grips me. The spiritual potential in Africa is immense. Their urban centers in Africa are bursting at the seams. They're saying that nearly 15 of the fastest growing cities in just a few years will all be in Africa. Imagine if those cities were filled with gospel preaching churches. But all that growth is not just in those big cities. Yes, you do have the modern African who is middle class and involved in business. But you also have millions of people who still live in the interior jungles of Africa and in those small rural villages that today still have no hope of hearing a clear presentation of the gospel of Christ unless someone goes and takes it to them. There is a lot of religion in Africa. There's just not a lot of gospel. There are a lot of groups that are vying for the African soul. Islam dominates the northern and Sahara regions. There is Christianity, and some countries actually claim a large percentage as being Christian. However, that is confusing, as many people will claim Christianity simply because they're not Muslim. And then the Christianity that's being taught today is for the most part not biblical Christianity. Often it is an odd mixture of Christian terms as some Christian beliefs, but it is merged together with traditional African spiritism and animism. It's hard to believe that even in this modern era, that there are still 1,000 unreached people groups in Africa. These people are living right now, in our generation. They are our responsibility. With that kind of potential, I can't help but believe that God is calling Christians everywhere to respond. Baptist International Missions is here to help. Being one of the largest independent Baptist mission boards, we are fully equipped to assist each sending church and their missionary to accomplish what God has called them to do. In Africa with BIMI, we have well over 100 missionaries serving in nearly half of the countries on the African continent, as well as serving in many different capacities. Our emphasis has always been soul winning, discipleship training, and church planting. But we use a multi-pronged approach to accomplish those goals. Some missionaries come alongside our church planters in team ministry and facilitate in many areas, such as education, like literacy centers and reading rooms, which have been very effective in the Islamic areas of Africa. Then Bible institutes to train our Christian laymen. Sports centers are an effective tool for evangelization. Others help facilitate church planters in medicine. Radio has the capacity to reach the masses as well as the potential of entering into the remote hut in a distant village that would otherwise be nearly unreachable. Truly missionary work today involves many different people with many different specialties in order to reach a maximum amount of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you allow God to open your heart for the possibilities of work on the African continent? Could He be calling you to be a part of the new era for an old field?
And may I say, for those who are praying for God's guidance on their lives, there's nothing greater than serving the Lord. You young men hear that. There's nothing greater. And I hope that God can be able to work in your life as you can be able to learn from your pastor, your youth leaders, do all that you can to be able to learn, but have also in focus, God, what do you have for me? No matter what it is, I'm here. I'm ready. Use me. And you know what? It's wonderful. Because He does. He works through your life. If you would open your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy. I am aware of the time this evening. Not that it's going to make any difference, but I am aware of the time. I just want to let you be aware of that. I appreciate the video from Sarah. And what a blessing Sarah was. Sarah and my daughter, Erica, roomed together as they were doing some postgraduate work. And she's a good friend of Erica's, and she's going to be doing very, very similar work to what my daughter is doing in Kenya. They're in Croatia. And she said, hey, praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3, one verse tonight as we quickly stand, as we read now, one verse for this evening. Paul is admonishing young Timothy, and he writes here, verse 14, 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Then we learn of who these special people, we learn that it was his mother Eunice, his grandmother Lois, and Paul says, now, Timothy, there's some things that you have learned from godly people in your life, and they're special because of the people you learned them from. After nearly 30 years of serving the Lord in Africa, I can tell you there's many things that I've learned. When I first went to the field, I went there with all kinds of ideas, all kinds of plans of what I was going to help them to learn. And yes, praise the Lord for it. I was able to implement so many things. God is just so good. I've been off the field now as serving as field director, not actually in that specific area where we lived for so many years. Now the church count is now over 40. They're continuing to plant churches, even while I'm not here, continuing on, continuing to do it. But in that process, God had to teach the missionaries some things too. And it's very special because of the people I learned them from. Tonight, I'd like to share some of those things. Lessons that the mission field taught me. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless now our time. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit now will so fill us this evening as I share from my heart some of the things that you have wrought in my life. And through the special circumstances, yes, a few stories, but Father, my object tonight is not to entertain. My object is to give truth. And may you please present it. May they hear from you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Lessons the mission field has taught me. You know, a lot of people, as they are getting ready to think about serving God, there's always a lot of questions that they have. Can God do for me as he's done for others? We've heard some great stories, and we've maybe perhaps read some great biographies of things that have happened. We read in the Bible of all the things that God did, and we read what God did with some great missionaries of the past, but that was 100 years ago, 150 years, 200 years ago. But can God do something for me, for today, for here, right now, in this generation? That's the question. As I meet with a lot of young people that are thinking about serving God, questions come up. And finally, I got to one point where I just compiled some of these questions. And tonight, I'm going to give you some of the stories that I give to them of how God helped to prepare my heart and how God worked and taught me. One thing I would just like to say, and as far as number one, would be God always provides. Always. You know, it's not always in the way that we think. As we're thinking of a missions conference time, many times we're thinking of, you know, can I be able to do things? And can I be able to give? Will God meet my needs? God always provides. Let me share, and that's something that, just like in young Timothy, who had a godly mother and a godly grandmother, there are some things that I'm sure Timothy did not have to learn, did not have to go through, because he saw what his mother and his grandmother learned, and he learned, and it was just continued on. That's why we need good Christian homes to be teaching our children, teaching our grandchildren of the things that need to be taught them so they don't have to start at zero. They can start a couple notches up, and they don't have to learn everything all over again. There's so many things my parents, my godly heritage has taught me. One of the things that I could quickly say is just in giving to the Lord. It's not a question. Tithe? Do people honestly have an issue with tithing? Really? Seriously? But that's something I've never had to deal with. It's just something that, of course you do. Why in the world would you rob God? Ain't no way. I've seen so many blessings. I've lived in a home of a family that was in full-time Christian ministry. And my dad was a school principal. And let me tell you, I've seen it. I've seen the miraculous things, and I know what God's economy is like. He always provides. Always. Giving to missions. Seriously? Really? With so much struggle there. Well, I remember giving him my first faith promise as a young boy. And yes, we all can be involved. New Testament missions is that everyone's involved. Everybody does something for the cause of Christ. Everybody does something. But that's an area of faith I didn't have to deal with. Because you know what? God taught it me through my parents. That's totally different. That's not part of the message here, but I just wanted to just say that's something very special. I hope that you can be able to pass on to your children and grandchildren. But God's provision. You know, the Bible puts a question out there in Psalm 78 where the psalmist is saying that Israel tempted God and said, can God provide a table in the wilderness? They provoked God. But let me tell you, God can. Oh, yes. And God sets a very good table. It may not be exactly what you have thought or something that you have chosen, but God always provides. He always gives. He always takes care of that. And of course, David answers that in Psalms 23. But thou preparest the table before me, the presence of mine. Oh, yes. And he does. God's provision is always there. One story that I think I could be able to give on this is, it's a funny story. It means absolutely probably nothing to most, but it was very impactful when it took place. We worked in northern Kenya where most of the with most of the nomad tribes there. We worked the Turkana, the Samburu, and the Maasai up there. God called me to be able to give the gospel to a people who would not otherwise receive it unless someone physically took it to them. God gave me that opportunity. As we went up to the northern parts of Kenya and areas that have no opportunity to hear at all. And it was on one of those Sundays we were trying to start a new Bible study in a village with some of our young people that were from this area, wanted to start a new church. So we were in the preparation of that. We'd gone way out, literally. When I say in the middle of nowhere, most people in our American mindset don't understand what we say in the African context of the middle of nowhere. But this was what you would imagine in the old National Geographic magazines. Yeah, right there. Yeah. Yeah. After the service, we preached there in that little village. And, of course, it was just as you can imagine, all the grass thatched huts and so forth all around. And as I was walking out afterwards, we had a great service. Everything had gone well. Got out to my vehicle to ready to go. And a flat tire. Well, hey, no problem. That part of Africa, everything, every plant has got a thorn of some sort. I mean, everything in that area either wants to poke you or bite you or something. So we're just used to that, all right? So no problem. And I don't know how you men are, but I'm the one that always over-prepares. Some of you like to do that, all right? And I always have everything just right. I had a one-ton safari vehicle, boy, Toyota Land Cruiser. Had two huge, spare tires in the back, high lift jack, tools in the back. I mean, we were set and ready to go. My kids didn't have any place to sit, but it's okay. It's all right. No problem. Flat tire. So I get my high lift jack out, getting ready to get all that, and reaching a certain part of the vehicle that always had the lug nut wrench. As you can imagine, a one-ton truck such as that, and how everything is completely sealed because of all the rough roads, and boy, those tires are on there, and they're on there good. I actually had one tire come off one time and go down the road ahead of me. Hey, didn't that look like... Boom! Yes, okay. But anyhow, lug nut wrench was not there. Oh, my. I mean, I always have a backup for anything. Nothing was there. It was gone. Of course, the whole story of where that went, that's a whole other situation. We won't go there. But anyhow, nothing was there. Praying about what to do. My wife comes out, and she naively, hi, oh, so what's going on? Flat, no problem. Yes, there is a problem. The nomadic warriors came out, and these are guys, real tall, and, carry around a 7-foot spear, and, okay, missionary, what's the problem? Flat tire, yeah, you know how to change it, right? Yeah. No lug nut wrench. What's a lug nut wrench? Well, how do you explain? Okay. So I took one of their spears, and I said, okay, now this is a piece of metal, and this is how it looks like whenever, I'm like, why am I doing this? But anyhow, I'm a teacher, so you just have to do it. See, I'm figuring out. I turned to my wife. I said, honey, look around in the village. Pick you out a good hut. We're going to be here for a while. And she's game. She's like, okay. Well, she went off with the ladies, and she's good. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, how are we going to do this? One of the warriors left, came back a few minutes later as I was tearing through my truck about the 15th time of where is this. Still not there. He comes back and he has a piece of metal in his hand. He says, is this what you're talking about? I looked in his hand. It was a lug nut wrench. You've got to be kidding me. And just to let you know how my faith went, I said, you know what? God's going to provide a lug nut wrench, but it's going to be the wrong size. He's testing me for something. But no, it wasn't. It fit right on. I was able to change the tire. I just, something little, small. I can tell you stories that are just incredible. But, you know, God takes care of the little stuff. I asked him, where in the world did you get this? He says, oh, you know, we don't see any vehicles out here. I'm like, yeah, you know, no roads or anything. And he says, well, this big truck came by several months ago. And, everyone in the village ran out to watch it and to see it. And it went by. And all of a sudden we heard this dung, 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 dung. He said, I ran out and I picked it up and it was this piece of metal. And he goes, oh, so the truck broke. So he's running after the truck, waving it, you know. And, of course, a lot of nomads that are carrying spears, when they run, they run like this, you know, with the spears and the metal. And that trucker's going, I'm out of here, you know. He says, so I just had it in my hut and figured, you know, he'd come back some point and get it. Wow. You know, God provided months ahead of time. God always provides. As you're thinking about your life, your situation, can God do it? Yes, he can. Can God provide in this area? Yes, he can. Even to the small, minute detail of the 22-millimeter lug nut wrench I needed. God can do it. God always provides. Another thing is that he always protects. You know, we've gotten in our mind this thing about safety these days. Everything is based on safety. Safety, 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 safety. As a matter of fact, it's part of our American, you know, greeting when we depart from each other. Hey, be safe, be safe, be safe. No, I'm going to purposely go out and do something very dangerous right now. You know, but it's just something we've done. Be safe. Be safe. I have people asking me that are interested on the mission field. Is the mission field safe? No. It's the mission field, all right? But you know what? Last time I checked, life isn't safe, all right? If the Lord tarries, it's coming. It's going to get us sometime. But you know what? I'm invincible until God's done with me. That doesn't mean that I do something stupid or foolish, but it does mean that my confidence is in the Lord. Safety is of the Lord. Can God provide? Yes. Can God protect? By all means, yes. When I was thinking tonight of what I could share, so many stories came to mind, literally some borders on the absolute miraculous. But if you were to ask my family, they would probably give one story that happened right at the beginning of our time. You know, as I share with missionaries that are going for their first term, that first term is going to be your most incredible memories. Those are some of the things that God is going to take you through, and he's going to teach you some incredible things there. But this happened to me on our first term. Where I was in language school. We had stayed in the capital city. We had fortunately had the privilege of living in another missionary's home while they were gone on furlough, and I was at language school. It was quite a distance away. So I would go to language school. The arrangement was I would go there, and then later on they'd have a tutor that would come to our house and they'd teach my wife. So I had to go to language school in a regular specific time, and early in the morning. So my habit was we would go out and I would, you know, make the coffee, open a sliding glass door, which was very, very nice because it was hot. And, of course, there's no air conditioning or anything like that. So it opened a sliding glass door to let breeze throughout the house, and I'd go off to school. One morning as I went there to open, it's kind of your inner routine. You go up, you get the coffee, get it going, get the sliding glass door, flip up the lock. And wouldn't budge. Well, that's weird. I mean, yesterday it was just as easy as can be. And it wouldn't budge. Wouldn't move at all. And I was, of course, usually in those mornings, mornings you're running late, right? And so I couldn't get out. I couldn't look at it. And I mean, you know, I was in my former life, I helped to, you know, build houses, you know. And, you know, but I didn't have a chance to kind of tear it apart, look at it. So I honey, sorry, fan yourself real good. You know, I got to go to school. We went. They carried on throughout the day. I got back that evening. It was cool in the evening. We didn't think about anything of it again until the very next morning. Creatures of habit. You go there, you turn on the coffee, flipped up the lever on the lock of the sliding glass door. And the next day, it just opened just as easy as can be. What is that? This thing would not open yesterday. I almost broke the glass doing it. What happened? I had some extra time that morning, and I did what I couldn't do the day before. I stepped out, and I took back to be able to look inside the track and everything to make sure nothing was stuck or whatever it was. And as I was looking, I saw the reason. Two steps down, there was a freshly shed snakeskin of a poisonous snake. I said, hey, y'all come out here. I want you to take a look at this. Remember yesterday? Remember how hot it was? And it was my wife that came out with such a beautiful phrase. She said, our inconvenience was God's protection. Have I had other snake stories after that? Oh, yeah. Have I had other issues? Yes. But as far as our family, that was very pivotal right at the beginning. And right at that point, we knew. Yeah. God's got us. It's all going to be okay. If he can keep a dumb door from opening simply to protect us throughout that day, he can do anything. And he has. God always, always protects. But you know what? One thing we need to realize is that we don't need to fear. That's another thing that has gripped our churches in the past months. We are given to a spirit of fear. Once again, does it mean we do anything foolish? Absolutely not. But our basis is not on that. Our safety, our security, our everything is wrapped up in one person. And that's the person whom I serve. That's Jesus Christ. And he can protect me. He can keep me. He can take care of me. It may not be exactly the way I thought. It may not be in the way perhaps I would choose. And it may not be something that would fit into a nice story later on. But you know what? God will do his work as long as I am in his perfect place where I can receive it. He provides. He protects. I'm not going to have time to give some of these. But another thing that Africa taught me is you're never too poor to give. You know how humbling it is to go to a national church and they want to give you a love offering for coming and preaching to them. No, it's okay. I can provide my own fuel. It's okay. Missionary, don't refuse us. I'll go to someone's house to eat. And they're so excited. The missionary's coming to their house. They kill their chicken. And they sit and they watch us eat it. You know how humbling that is? I can buy my own chicken. But their heart is so open. They want to give. We're talking about people who have nothing. No, Not what you're thinking about. Nothing.
Nothing.
But they tithe. Now, our offerings are unique. Time we have, get a little bag of corn. Get a little thing of eggs or, you know, a little chicken or something that will come in. I work with nomads, and sometimes they would give me a baby goat. What am I going to do with this? You know. If they're nomads, they're like, you're kidding me, you don't know? Oh. So I want to give. It's one of the most humbling experiences to be able to be on that side. And they say, missionary, please don't refuse us. God has so blessed us by your coming, by giving us the gospel, by planting a church in our area. And because you came, because you gave of yourself, because you left your home, you came here, we got the gospel. Because of this, we're redeemed. We have a hope. And we have people, and our children can hear this. Their children are growing up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In our town church, we had a dear old lady. Believe it or not, she's still alive today. She's over 100 years old. Which, when you live in an area where the average life expectancy is 48, that's incredible. Her name is, we call her Shosho. That's Kikuyu for grandmother. And she basically is the grandmother of the church. When you have a life expectancy like that, and you have a couple older people in the church, they highly revere age. And she takes upon herself, she is the grandma of the church. One of the sweetest ladies in the world. Hardly has a tooth in her head, but she's got the sweetest smile in her mouth. She met me out in front of the church one time as I was coming into the town church there, as I was preaching there that morning. She says, oh, missionary, you come today. She's holding something small. She says, God has been so good to me. God's been so good. I said, oh, show, really? She goes, yes. She says, I brought a little something to put in the offering plate. But she says, I had to bring you something too, as the one that led me to Christ. I said, oh, show, that's so nice. She gave me this cloth there with the banana leaf over it. Lifted up the banana leaf, and there were three little chicken eggs. I knew where she lived. I knew what she had. When, oh, Shosho, God must have been incredibly, incredibly good to you. Oh, yes, missionary, please. Take them. Some of the sweetest little legs we've ever had. You're never too poor to give. As we're thinking about giving to the church, giving to the ministries here, we're giving, thinking of supporting missionaries, filling out our faith promise card for next week. I'm telling you, some of the things that I struggle in, and some of the churches that we work with there in Africa, most of our pastors are bivocational. But the people tithe, they give to help support their pastor. They give to Faith Promise Missions because they have been reached by missions. And I tell them, I said, you can't let it stop with you. Missions has to go through you to somebody else. You've been the recipient. You take it and you don't keep it. You take it and you pass it on. Missions goes through us to reach somebody else. And they give their own Faith Promise to support their national missionaries. And sometimes I come back to our churches here. And it's all I can do to say, please, can we understand what's happening in this world today? We know nothing about sacrifice. And I don't want to be harsh at all. We all have issues. We all have financial concerns. Yes, I know. But in light of the Great Commission, we need to truly evaluate what God has given to us and what He has blessed us with. I don't want to tell you stories to be able to give you an emotional fix of any sort, but I want to give you stories to be able to show you a little bit of a window into how the rest of the world really is and how God has blessed us and helped us. It's so easy for us to be able to say, oh God, thank you for my salvation. Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you for eternal security. Great. Oh, thank you for your Holy Spirit. And thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for your blessings and your miracles in my life. And I can and go on and on and on and on. And all of a sudden when God comes to you and says, I need you to do a little something for me. Whoa, wait a second. How much is this going to cost me? I was trying to counsel a church that was without a pastor and trying to deal with some of their leadership there and trying to get them stirred and try to help them motivated to help their own church. And one of the young fathers there, we were trying to just get them to come to some special meetings that we were trying to get focused for their church. And he went, I can't do that. It's cutting into my me time. Your me time? Yes. Then we have nothing in common, my friend. Because my time is to the Lord. Oh, we need to realize that God has blessed us so much. We're never too poor to give. I'll finish with this. You don't need to know much to serve. You know, a servant doesn't really need a big resume. You just want to really plug in and do whatever God wants you to do. And I hope to share this with young people here. Something that our current generation right now is causing young people to always have to, we need to seek more training, more training, more training. I'm talking with college students right now and they want to be able to stay here. They want to get another degree. They want to do another internship. And when I had one guy tell me just recently, oh, bro, Roman, I am on a 5-year plan. What I'm going to do is that I've got to, once I graduate here, and then I'm going to go to a trade school to learn a trade in case God's will doesn't, you know, meet my needs. And then he says, then I'm going to go on, and then I'm going to go and do an internship for several years. And then I'm going to, after that, do an internship on the field. And then after that, then if it all works out, then I'll surrender to go to the mission field. Oh, my. We're taking away the need to just go. And I don't want to make light of training. Oh, no. By all means. You get the training you can. But there's some things that at this point we need to realize God wants us to go. He will equip you. He will train you. You get all that you can, all that you need to be able to get. And then you get out there and you serve the Lord. We have people in our churches around, I can't go solely, I just don't know what to say, I don't know what to do. And yes, we do need to make sure that you are aware of the verses you can take them through. There's certain things that we can be able to say to encourage a person to see the necessity of salvation. Yes, there is some training involved there, yes. But we don't sit back and don't go because of a lack of what we think is perceived need of training. We need to go. We just need to serve. And by the way, when we say try to get your training, don't get your theology from YouTube, okay? There's some people that are doing that. All right, let me go on. As I've worked there in northern Africa and northern Kenya there, many of our people there that we won to Christ were illiterate. We had to have an adult literacy center just to be able to teach some of our men who are now pastors how to read. Boy, there's some great stories. Once they learned how to read, they were soul winners before, but after they learned to read, wow, you know. They would go around and say, hey, do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? Let me show you, and I can read it to you too. And God works through incredible ways, and He uses His choice servants. And many times it's not the people who you think. You see someone that may have it all together. You think, wow, God's going to use them. Many times not. That person many times is depending on himself. God sometimes uses the weak things of the world. Oh, yeah. If he can use me, he can use anybody. One thing that challenged me as I was preaching for one of our village churches. Our young man there, who was the pastor, was trying to help his congregation through discipleship and trying to bring them in training. Most of them were illiterate there. As I went there and prepared to preach, and he says, oh, I'm sorry, after the singing, he says, I forgot, missionary, give us patience for a few minutes. He says, we've been trying to help to teach our people now, because many of them we can't read. He's trying to teach them to learn the Word of God. He says, okay, church, Bible memorization time, everyone stand. And then they started. Verse after verse after verse. I lost count at 30 verses. The entire plan of salvation. Verses on how to grow as a Christian. Verses that help them, in 1 John 1:9, to be able to help with get forgiveness of sin. Verses to be able to help others people to grow. I got going through them in my mind. Okay, I know that one. I know that. Ooh, I don't quite know that one. I wonder how good we would do in some of our churches here today. All right, church, Bible memorization time. But you know what? God has a great work started there. It's continuing on to this day. They have a great testimony in the area there. All the things that they were able to memorize, all the verses there, out soul winning. Can't even read, but winning people to Christ. You know, mission field taught me how to live without the props. So what do you mean, preacher? There's some things that we have in our culture here that prop us up spiritually so we don't have to live by faith. We don't necessarily have to trust in God. One thing that I learned when I was there, I learned very quickly, there was no 911 to call. There was no ready insurance that was available. I could run to the hospital and take care of something. Many times I had to go ahead of time, pay cash, before they would even treat you in an emergency. Many times you got there for an emergency, they had you to go out and you had to get a shopping list before and come back in with the things from the pharmacy so the hospital would have the things to be able to help you with. Trusting God. Trusting God. How many times God has stretched our faith? And I know he has because that's what God does. He has brought, made perhaps you, perhaps a specific trial in your life that you had to completely trust in him. And it was a trying, stretching time in your life. And many times right after we come out of a situation like that, we'll go, oh, wait, we'll make sure that doesn't happen again. We raise the credit limit on our credit card. We start making another rain. Why? Don't want to be put into that situation again. But the mission field really taught me just to simply realize God is faithful. God's good. And God will take care of his servants. God is completely trustworthy. What about the props that have been set in your life? You know that nagging verse that without faith it is? Man, I hate that verse. Because it challenges me all the time. You've got to completely trust and have faith in what God wants to do through me. I believe at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be surprised when we are told to stand aside. And there's going to be some people from third world nations all around. And they're going to be honored. They're going to be rewarded. Because they learned how to just trust. They learned to serve. They learned to sacrifice. Because it was all for the one who brought them out of darkness and into a marvelous light. Where are we today? Where are we in our spiritual life? What are some things that Satan has got us bound by? We need to release it and give it unto the Lord. It's simply trust and obey. There's no other way. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you now for the time this evening. We thank you for the attention of your people. And, oh, Father, there's so many different things that are on my heart and so many different other situations and stories I'd love to give. Oh, but, Father, I pray this in some small way has been an encouragement. Oh, Father, I do pray that you would help us this evening to learn from some of my experiences, Father, and to even put them in practice right now in America, in our situation here, put them in place in our life. Help us to simply trust you and to serve you. Willing to give, willing to go, whatever it may be. May you be glorified this evening. In Jesus' name, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, everyone quietly stand together. In a few moments, she's going to begin playing. We'll have an invitation time. If you do not know for sure you're saved, you're saying, "Preacher, I don't know about all this." Would you please come forward? The pastor is right here, and he will be willing to help to show you and take you to someone. If you're a lady, she'll have a lady come and deal with you, man who deal with you, and help you to know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Christian, if the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart, we want you to come and respond right now as she begins to play. What kind of props are in her life? I realize we need to have safeguards, and yes, we need to make sure that we're wise. But many times we've gone way beyond that. It's coming to the point where we have literally a lack of faith. God is so good. He's always trying to teach us things. What will we allow God to teach us?
This way just for a moment. You're not outstanding for us tonight. I am thankful for the personal stories and illustrations of life right there. That's a great challenge. I don't know, before this meeting, The Lord is just stirring my heart. And I don't know the answer. I don't know what it is that He wants us to do, my wife and I, for this thing of missions. You know, I told Brother Bowman at lunch today, I already came to the point in my life where I came home from church one day in Iowa and told Joyce, I said, if God tells me to, we're going to Senegal, West Africa. I'd already talked to Ron Bragg. And I said, I don't know what the Lord's going to do, but if he calls, we're going. That's a Muslim country. He labored for 5 years there, without a convert. But God didn't send me. But I had to come to the place where He could. And I'm not sensing God's going to move me to another field, but I want if time is as short as we say it is, I want Him to do whatever He wants to do through me. And thank you, because I was just challenged tonight to have the faith to know that God can do that, whatever it is. So much the more. We don't believe that verse. We talk about Jesus coming and do less. We're in church less. We're serving less. And we talk about so much the more. We don't believe the Bible. It's all lip service. We need to be serious about this thing. This thing's going to be done. We're going to be out of here. And those left behind face an awful, awful future. Thank you for the challenge tonight. My heart stirred. Wow. Enjoyed every minute of it. I think, no doubt, it was an encouragement to these deputation families, Sarah, who are getting ready to go. I kept hearing Brother Schrock back there behind me. That's right. 27 years. He'd give testimony. God always provides. God always protects. It doesn't always mean it's going to end like we think it should. There's a little grave with a little body in it somewhere that God took home to heaven early from the Schrock family. But God's faithful. Faithful. Tremendous tonight. I sense the Lord moving. Sense the Lord speaking to hearts. Gets quiet. I like that. Not dead quiet. Still quiet. Be still and know that I am God. Tremendous.